Welcome back, everyone, to the front line with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo and Joe Resinello.
Oh, you're exactly right, Joe.
We work for the man upstairs, as you do.
You're setting me up quite well. You just gave me an alley-oop.
The greatest revolutionary act you can commit right now is to open your mouth and speak the truth.
Whether you're an academic or you're a regular guy, we have to be fearless.
And once more, dear brothers and sisters, let us go into the breach. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the front line with Joe and Joe. Joe Pasillo, as always, joined by Joe Resinello. And once more, dear brothers and sisters, let us go into the breach on the Veritas Catholic Radio Network, 1350 on your AM dial, 103.9 on your FM dial, spreading the truth of the Catholic faith to the New York City metropolitan area. Please be sure to download the app, the Veritas app, share it with your friends. You'll have access to all of our station's content. And hey, if you like what Joe and I do, we're all over social media. Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, like, subscribe, share, do all that fun stuff. And today we're very pleased and honored to be welcoming back to the program a friend of the show, Bear Woznick. Bear has written a new book. And Joe, you know, we say we go into the breach, Joe. Today we're going into the breach with Bear because his new book is 12 Rules for Manliness. Where have all the cowboys gone? Now, remember, we not only want to support Bear and all of our Catholic authors, we also want to support our Catholic publishers. The book is out from Sophia Institute Press, so please go out and buy it. This is a great book to have, particularly for men, and that's what we're going to get into. Now, many of you out there know who Bear is. He's all over the place. Having said that, for those of you who do not, Bear Woznick is a world champion surfer, certified ninja black belt, sought-after speaker. He's the host of the Bear Woznick Adventure Radio Program and EWTN's motorcycle-based immersive reality show series, Long Ride Home with Bear Woznick. A Benedictine oblate, Bear is the author of several books, including A Surfer's Guide to the Soul, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue, and the book I just mentioned, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? You can learn more about Bear at Bear's Man Cave and Bear School of Manliness at deepadventure.com. Bear Woznick, welcome back to the front line with Joe and Joe, brother.
Aloha. It's so good to be. You know, one thing I like about New Yorkers is they tell you like it is, right? Tell it like it is.
There's no other way to do it. Bear, before we get started, real quick, let our audience know your social media, your websites, and we're going to continue to promote the book throughout.
Just better to go to deepadventure.com, and there we have our store. You can buy my book through there. But you can also, the Mama Bears can join the Mama Bears there, and the men can join the Man Cave and Bear School of Manliness. And we have our YouTube channel, Bear Woznick Deep Adventure YouTube channel. So, and every podcast app basically is on. So, yeah, but deepadventure.com will get you rolling.
All right, cool. Thank you for that, Bear. I'm going to hand it over to Joe. We're going to have a great conversation today, Bear.
Bear, we always start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, never was it known that anyone who sought your help or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, a virgin of virgins, our mother. To you we come, for you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O mother, the word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your clemency hear and answer us, amen. Saint Benedict, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Should we make the sign of the cross in Hawaiian?
How do we do it?
Akemakua ke keiki ameke ohana hemalele.
I love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Joe, we say on the show all the time, we're always going to learn something. Now we just learned how to say, do the sign of the cross in Hawaii and love it.
Well, I want to share something with the folks out there. We're having internet problems and I got my Benedictine cross. And that why I mentioned that is this. The devil doesn't want this to happen. And that's why it's going to happen. So we're going to persevere and it's going to happen and it's going to be a powerful conversation. And that is why you should be tuning in, because to be honest with you, Bear epitomizes what it means to be a Catholic man. His witness and his mission is at the heart of that. And we need that, because if we fix the man, we fix the society, and God knows America needs a little bit of fixing. Let's talk about the title of the book, 12 Rules to Manliness, Bear. I love the fact that you bring in cowboys. My grandfather liked cowboy movies. I remember my grandfather, he used to have a tattoo on his arm of a deck of cards. I used to think it looked like a stove. He had the Ohio Kid on his arm, and he drank Schlitz. I remember that about him.
Oh, yeah.
To be completely honest with you. And he loved cowboy movies. Loved it.
Yeah,
whenever I
we
went
do.
To his house, he always had cowboy movies on. My mother likes them as a result of that. Talk about the title of the book, The 12 Rules, and why you focused in on cowboys.
Yeah, 12 Rules for Manliness. Where have all the cowboys gone? Well, my wife is a cowgirl. She's from Florida. She rode barrel raced her whole life. She didn't wear she didn't wear anything but cowboy boots until she became a cheerleader in high school. So she introduced me to this this song by Paula Cole. It's basically the words are, "Where's my John Wayne? Where have all the cowboys gone?" And it's a very mournful song. And I think it's the song of the modern woman who have just kind of lost. The modern woman is just kind of, our society has lost our way. Women everywhere, when we go out and speak, they tell us, please tell the men we need for them to be men again. The young women at Theology on Tap, the young college age women, they'll go, you know what? The men never ask us out on dates. They show up for pizza and beer, but they never ask us out on dates. They just kind of hang around. Or if they do, they don't ask us to marry them. You know, there's just kind of this weak sort of, I would call that either be a coward or be a cowboy. You know, you can't be both. And then women of all ages are just saying, we need our men to be men. We need to stop apologizing for your existence. And so society really, it's really the linchpin is that men need to step in. And so we love, during the COVID, Cindy and I watched all the great Westerns, and I was a great Louis L'Amour, you know, the Western writer, Louis L'Amour, I loved his books, and his men were always virtuous and the women were strong. And so I use a lot of quotes from Louis L'Amour in my book, and got to talk to his widow, Kathleen, and get her permission. And then of course we use the catechism, the scripture, the saints and all of that too. But I just call it grit and grace. You know, to be a man, you need both.
Absolutely. Bear Wozniak is joining us here at the Frontline with Joe and Joe, Joe Pasillo, Joe Rasinello. Bear's new book, go out and buy it. 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Bear, I want to stay there for a second. We're Catholic Christians, okay? We've read the Gospel of St. John. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was God, and the Logos was with God. The Logos, the reason, the rationality, the order is where I'm going, the order of things, okay? Mm-hmm. There's an order to being a man. Mm-hmm. There's an order to being a woman, okay? And obviously we understand this Catholic anthropology better than anybody else, okay? The complementarity of men and women. Talk about that, the proper role. You've spoken to Joe and I before about when you surf with your wife and you use that analogy. Convey that to our audience, because I thought it was the image of it, I think, is so proper to what the natural order of men and women is. Talk about that a little bit, Bear.
Well, just expand on that. You know, I tandem surf. I won my world titles tandem surfing. When you lift a woman in extreme lifts, very extreme lifts, while you're riding, you know, hopefully a good sized wave. And I'll tell you a little bit more than I've spoken to you about it in the past. When I met Cindy, she'd been coming down to the beach for, she was taking care of her mother who was dying of cancer, you know, and a young girl whose mother had died. And so her only sanity was to get down to the beach, drive from Orlando to Cocoa Beach every Sunday and just try to regain her own, you know, soul, really. And she saw us tandem surfing there once, and she just flipped out and she said, I want to do that. But she really couldn't. She was dedicated to taking care of these people in her life. She's a good, valiant woman. I really came to see that. Well, I didn't know that she was coming down to watch us all those years, but it came at a point on an Easter Sunday morning when we were doing a tandem surfing exhibition. And the woman who does all of our announcing when we travel around the world said, hey, Bear's here. Want to learn a tandem? This is your chance. And Cindy jumped up and said, pick me, which is very unlike her. And so I taught her how to tandem. She thought she was going to tandem with me, but she was tandeming with a man who said that he could surf and he was a tandem surfer. So I taught them a couple lifts on the beach. And they went out during the exhibition, and he actually was able to lift her up in what we call the cradle. You know, we lift a woman over the threshold. I won my world titles by a woman standing in my hands. That's a little bit different, or flipping up into handstands. That's pretty extreme. But she was so excited. So she would come down to the beach twice a week and train with him. And I was filming Long Ride Home. So I would go down and I would try to teach them. But I began to realize that this guy was, she was getting hurt. He wasn't protecting her. He wasn't a good surfer. And so finally I said to him, look, you can't take her out anymore. You need to go learn how to surf first, and then maybe you can take her out. She was getting hurt, but she was valiant. She was doing all she could, always protecting his dignity. And I came down to the beach and I saw them paddle out, and I saw him drop her on the board and fall on top of her. And she walked out of the water. I could see she was brokenhearted, because this was like her new life. You know, her mother passed away. The young girl had grown up, and this was her chance now to really do something she really wanted to do. And she was rubbing her shoulder where it had been hurt so many times before. And I could see she was crying, even though she was wet. I could see she was turning up, and I signaled to her to come to me. And she came to me, and we paddled out, and we did 3 extreme lifts. I had taught her how to do them on the beach. And I said, will you be my partner for the next contest? And so that the difference is that I inspired trust in her. And this man hurt her. He didn't protect her. He couldn't lift her. So when we go out and we won the next contest, we even jumped out of a helicopter to jump into our heat. But we won our next contest. And she did this beautiful, when I lift her, she's so beautiful, graceful, powerful. I'm putting that woman on display. No one's looking at me. The job of a man is to be that platform, to be that support. Men don't lift women anymore. And when we do, if we're providing the foundation for her to flourish, people will see that woman is beautiful and she's powerful and she's full of grace. And wow, who must her husband be who protects and provides and lifts her like that? So I'm sorry, I kind of went off on a little bit, but no,
that's great. No, Bear, that's a fantastic story. And that's exactly where I was going. I mean, you know, like I said, we've lost a lot of what you just described. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why you're doing what you're doing, because we have to recapture that. We have to regain that. Why? Because I'm a better man than somebody else. No, I just accept certain truth in life. Like I mentioned about the logos, about order and rationality.
Order. Yes.
It's all chaos out there. And that's why we're having this conversation. If you're just joining us here, Bear Woznick joining us at the front line with Joe and Joe. 12 Rules for Manliness. Where have all the cowboys gone? Joe Racinello.
Bear, one of the themes of your book is be dangerous. And a lot of things you do, let's be honest, they're dangerous. You jump out of airplanes. You've biked across America. Even surfing is a bit dangerous. I mean, you could die. I mean, in Hawaii, the surf is big. I bring that up because if you basically surrender your life to God and you basically say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, you're a dangerous man. You're not afraid. Yeah. You're not afraid. You're not afraid to get fired because God will provide. You're not afraid. And too many people, the devil uses fear. You see, even Napoleon recognized that. Napoleon conquered a lot of the world. He said, if you gave me 12 men like St. Francis, I'd conquer the world. And I believe that if men, Catholic men, trusted in God's providence, I'll be honest with you, we would conquer the world. What would be accomplished through us would blow our mind. Talk about that, because you write about that in the book, Be Dangerous, and you do it.
Yeah, well, the Be Dangerous part to me is summed up in just the words of Jesus that he taught his disciples. There's a cave he used to like to pray in on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he came out of the cave one time and his disciples asked him, teach us to pray. And he's in that prayer, you see the words, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Wherever God's will is being done, there is his kingdom. But he also prayed that dangerous prayer when he was on the Mount of Olives. And he said, thy will be done, knowing that the next day he would be going to the cross. So the devil hates a dangerous man. Bullies, you know, Satan's a punk, you know, he's a bully. Bullies hate dangerous men. And the thing about a man is we need to be dangerous, and I think at 3 levels. Number one, we need to be ready to physically fight if it comes down to that. Now, every man will have his own approach to doing that, but a man needs to figure out, what am I going to do if there's harm coming to me, which is ultimately harm to my family, or harm is coming to my family or those that I have cruelly honor my responsibility with? How will I respond? Do we know how to do a jab, punch, hook, uppercut? Are we fit enough to last more than 2 minutes? A lot of times a fight, whoever has the cardio wins the fight, you know. Are we aware of our surroundings? So a man needs to be willing and able to physically fight. When men join the Bear's Man Cave in the School of Manliness, one of the first things that happens is that they start to get in shape, this physical fitness. They drop 10 pounds, 20 pounds, 100 pounds to just be fit, because a man needs to be physically fit or you're going to end up being a burden to the people you love. And you're not going to be able to have the energy to fulfill the mission God has for you. So to be dangerous, firstly, physically, don't look like a victim. Don't walk like a victim. But then also, are you willing to make that stand, like you were saying, Joe, to make a stand for what's right? You know, like our good friend Mike Houck making that stand Mark Houck making that stand in front of the pregnancy center praying with his son. He was willing to pay the consequences for doing that. And then there's also the spiritual warfare. Do you fight? Can you smell a rat? Can you discern when the enemy's messing with you or your family or someone around you? Are you able to pray the prayer of Saint Michael? Do you sprinkle water? Do you bless your children? Do you have the crucifix over your house when they come on? Are you aware that there's actual spiritual warfare, that the enemy hates you and has a terrible plan for your life? Are you putting on the full armament? There was a general the name of the area in northern Spain when the Saracens, the Muslims, were taking over Spain. And I love it because I read it in Warren Carroll's book, his 7-volume set on Christendom. But he talks about how this man only had, he was all scarred up on the front of his body, but no scars on his back, because he was on the attack. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, gates don't attack people, right? We're to be on the offensive. Jesus, when he came to earth, that was an invasion. And the Bible says, call Satan the fleeing dragon. That means he's lost. He's running away. He still tries to whip us with his tail, but we need to be on the attack.
Bear, I agree with that. I just want to talk about that a little bit, because that is like supernatural, because like, to be truthful with you. And in order to do that, and this is something that I have learned over the years, we have to have a prayer life. We have to live sacramentally.
Yes.
Like that is huge, because I'm going to be honest with you. You talk about the adventure of being a Catholic man, being open to life, having children, taking care of your wife and kids. Things happen. I have 5 kids. Things happen a lot. I have 5 kids, 3 boys. I have 26 stitches above the neck, and my boys are 7 and under. And I'm sure there's more to come. My point is, things happen. And ultimately, prayer grounds us. It gives us strength. I pray for patience every morning. I pray to control my temper. To be honest with you, things that, to be truthful with you, sometimes are supernatural. All hell breaks loose in your house. Talk about the need for that, because I think a lot of times men, especially frankly accomplished men, they could say to themselves, oh, I can handle it. Oh, I could do it. I have everything under control. What Christ asks of us is hard. I mean, let's be honest. It's hard to live the Beatitudes, to be a husband, to be a father, to work hard. We need to pray. And that has to be like an iceberg underneath it all. The roots have to be deep. Talk about that, because I know you do it.
Yeah, you can't do it by just your effort and by an act of will. I mean, you can build your will. When I pedaled my bicycle across the United States, one pedal stroke at a time, paddling across the treacherous 30 miles of the Molokai Channel, one paddle stroke at a time. I can build courage. I can build fortitude. But we can't do this life that God's calling us to without the Holy Spirit, without grace, too. So you need the grit and the grace. That they go hand in hand. So we need both. We can't just will ourselves and pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. So we need prayer. Now, here in Hawaii, there's people on the beach I'll see today that are going to wear shirts that buy at Abercrombie and Fitch that says lifeguard. We know they probably don't even surf, right? We call people like that in Hawaii posers. Or when the surf comes up, the people that like to walk around and wear surfer clothes, but they don't paddle out, they're called posers. If you're not spending time with the Lord every day, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. When the big surf comes, you're not going to be able to handle it. I spend about an hour every day swimming beyond what I do in surfing and whatever else I do to be conditioned so that when I'm in a big surf situation, can I do a 60-second hold down, you know, things like that. So if you're not spending an hour with the Lord every day in prayer, you can break it up. 20 minutes of rosary, 20 minutes, you know, maybe in a half hour at mass. But if you're not spending an hour in the word and in meditation and intercession and listening to the Lord, then you're not going to be ready when the strong, there's a sign right out in front of my house, right where I won my 2 world titles. It says, beware of strong currents. And we're in that. People are getting swept. They're getting caught in the riptide and they're not ready for it. And so if you're a man and you're acting tough and you're acting like you're all that, and you're not spending time with the Lord, then you're not going to make it when the big surf comes.
Absolutely. Bear Wozniak joining us here at the Frontline with Joe and Joe. Please go out and buy his new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Bear, one of the things you obviously, you know, this might sound obvious, but it's not altogether obvious to a lot of people. You got to keep your word, man. You got to keep your word. If you have to be a man of your word. Talk about that. Talk about the need for that.
Be a man of the word first. You know your scripture, know the catechism, know your teachings, know your foundation, so that when you give your word, you know what you're doing. You know, to give your word is prudence is one of the seven virtues, and it really means it's called the charioteer of the virtues. And prudence is basically pursuing the true good in every situation. So before you give your word, you have to ask yourself, is that the good? Is that the true good? Dad, will you take me to the Dodger game this weekend? Or, you know, I guess they practice, I think, somewhere where you are in Arizona. Will you take me? And if you have to measure that, well, I could have all these different conflicts at work. I could have this. Measure. Yes, I will take you. And then are you going to be the worst thing you can do is break your word to a kid, by the way. So be measured about is taking my son to the game more important than me saying I can't make it. I've got a business dinner I need to attend to. Will you be able to keep that word? Because if you don't keep your word like that to a kid, it may not seem important to you at the moment, but there'll be time when it's not important. It'll become urgent. Because your son's falling off a cliff. So be a man of your word. And by the way, when you know where you stand, when you have a creed and a code you live by, decisions are easy. Giving your word should be easy. You don't have to be clever or conniving. But when you give your word, you need to keep it.
I want to talk about that a little bit, because all Catholic men give their word when we get married. We give our word to God and to our spouse. I think that's a key to staying married. Too many people start off, and I've given talks with my wife in pre-Cana situations. You know, they think God is just something you kind of bring along. No, he has to be the center of your marriage, because you make a vow. You say to God, I am going to marry this woman for better or for worse. Easy to say, you know, and you keep it. Like years ago, like my father's generation, God rest his soul, and Joe's father's generation, they went to high school together, believe it or not. Pretty crazy.
Best 7 years of my life, high school.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, those men kept their word. I mean, I knew guys on my street, to be truthful, they weren't even church going. And they weren't, you know, to be honest, they were like truck drop. My father was a barber. I mean,
The cardinal virtues.
They kept their word. They stayed married. Like, talk about that, because at the minimum, that's not happening there. I mean, our society's falling apart because of that.
That's why I called my book, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Because the men I knew when I was young were cowboys. They might not rode horses, but they were full of grit, and they aspired to virtue, and they held each other to that. But I'll say it this way. There's a church in Lahaina. You know our tragedy we had there. And my dad was a Catholic deacon at this church. It's Maria Lanaquila Church. It means Mary, Our Lady of Victory Church. When all of Lahaina burnt down and we lost so many people, maybe some of them my dad baptized or even married, the only thing left standing was the Catholic Church. The school was burned down that was associated with the church. But right there in that church is the Eucharist. And so the church isn't a symbol of hope. Within the church is hope itself. And so when you're in a marriage and you give your word and things get tough, it's not just a grittiness. It's seeking hope. Now, I will say I went through a divorce. And it's a very, very painful feeling. I was teaching confirmation class. I went to the priest and said, my wife's leaving me. Do I need to quit teaching? And he said, no, keep teaching confirmation. But he said, go and pursue the annulment process, work. And it was a beautiful healing experience to go through that counseling and go through that process. And I came to understand the mercy and the teaching of the church. But I have a woman in my life now who I treasure beyond anything. I value her more than anything. She's full of grace. She loves me tenderly. She does everything with excellence and grace. So I will stand. I stood by that first marriage as long as I could. And now with my wife, Cindy, it's, I finally see this is what my mom and dad had. And I love this relationship, but I want to express mercy to those who have been through hell and have been through a situation where through no fault of their own, with all that they tried, it failed. God is still a God of mercy. But what we challenge men to is live your life out with you. Let your wife know you cherish her, protect her, provide for her. Almost every day, Cindy gets either a hibiscus or a plumeria flower from me. She knows I cherish her. And when she speaks, I listen. Sometimes I interrupt because I have ADHD. But whenever she speaks, I always lean in. I'm always leaning in because she has a quiet voice. And I'm listening to her. I want to hear her. And her wisdom. And whenever there's a challenge that I have in my life, work or little problem I can't figure out, Cindy, will you pray for me? And she prays for me. And the Lord answers her prayers immediately. So yeah, men, we need to stand by our woman. But if you're a person who's found themselves that they've done all they can and their marriage has failed, then go to the church. Church hasn't abandoned you, and seek the wisdom and the counsel of the church in that area.
No, absolutely, Bear. So the book is 12 Rules for Manliness. Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Bear, we only have a minute or so before the break, so I might take the opportunity. So where could our audience members buy the book? More importantly, let us know what do you have going on at the moment, and where can people find out more information about you, maybe follow your social media, all that fun stuff?
Well, go to deepadventure.com. We really love to have our mama bears go there. You know, when I started the mama bears, it's just a place where the women can come and they can get access to all of our teachings and all the catechism series that we did and all the 33 episodes of Long Ride Home. But there's nothing more fierce than a mama bear. And then we have the Man Cave for the Men and the School of Manliness. We go through that school together. And like we're having a Zoom meetup here in the next few days where once a month we all of them get together on Zoom. And our idea is to encourage and challenge each other like David did in the Cave of Adullam. You know, all the misfits showed up. And then to help them start their own men's groups and things like that. But they can go there and they can go through the School of Manliness with us, but they can also lead their sons through that School of Manliness. So we invite you to go to deepadventure.com and find out everything there is that we're up to there.
Absolutely. Thanks for that, Bear. So stick around here at the front line with Joe and Joe, Joe Pasillo and Joe Rosanello. We're way in the breach with Bear Wozniak. Again, one more time, we're discussing his new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Also download the Veritas Catholic Radio Network mobile app so you can have access to all of our station's content, not just the Frontline with Joe and Joe. We are an EWTN affiliate, so you're going to get access to all that content. And wherever you see Joe and I across social media, whether it be Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Rumble, we're really building up on Rumble and on Facebook in particular. But wherever you see us, you know, hit a subscribe, a like, a share, do all that fun stuff, particularly share. And where you see this video with Bear Wozniak, make sure you share this video all over the place because it's definitely needed. So stick around. We have another great segment coming up with Bear Wozniak.
Catholic radio works. And now we have it here in Connecticut and New York. It's been seen around the country that there's no better tool for evangelization. Where there's Catholic radio, the folks who listen deepen their faith. Families are strengthened. Parishes and communities flourish. So, let people know you're listening to Veritas, tell your friends to tune in, and let's make an impact here for Jesus and His church. This is Steve Lee for Veritas Catholic Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Frontline with Joe and Joe, Joe Pasillo and Joe Rosanello, and we are way in the breach with Bear Wozniak, and we are discussing his new book, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Joe Rosanello.
I want to build on what Bear was just talking about on the other side of the break, basically having like a camaraderie, like a fraternity amongst men, men's groups. Bear does this on his basic podcast, and Joe and I do it together. I mean, to be honest with you, Joe's my brother-in-law. We keep each other accountable. It's important. That is very important for men because it's easy to drift. There's so many traps out there. And when you have someone that's going to hold you accountable, inspire you, help you, encourage you. How many negative voices are out there? People who drag you down. That's not what Catholic men need. We need people who are going to build each other up. Talk about what you do and the need for that, because I think every Catholic man needs that type of brotherhood.
Well, one of my chapters is about brotherhood. And I talk about don't be a lone wolf. I used to have a cabin up in Montana. It was a mile from Canada, a mile from Glacier. So that's about as remote as places you can be in America, in the continental United States. And I had the land. There was no cabin. I had to walk into the land, eventually graded a road into it, and then built a small little hunter's cabin. But when I first went on my land, I saw a wolf, a gray wolf. And, you know, they're big and they're pretty gnarly. But I saw it across the meadow, and he was looking at me with those kind of green or yellow eyes. I mean, pretty sketchy looking. And he was like, "What are you doing on my land?" He was not happy that I was there. And I would see him from time to time. And one day I got to talk to a tracker, a professor from Missoula, Montana, came by my cabin, which was the only human being that ever come by my cabin. And he said, "Yeah, I'm a tracker. I track apex predators." And I asked him about this wolf. He goes, "I know that wolf. We've got him radio collared. He used to be an alpha male, and he was forced out of the pack, and he's going to die young, and he's gone because wolves like to eat fresh meat, and he's just getting leftovers, and he'll become diseased and weak and die young. That's what a lone wolf is. Men like, well, I'm a lone wolf. I don't like to, you know, I'll do my thing, do whatever I want. I don't need other men." Well, there's a lot of lone wolves out there in the sense that they'll go and hang out and watch a football game, or they'll get all mad and opinionated about politics, but they never open up and say, "Dudes, I'm really having a problem with pornography," or "I've got a challenge. My teenage daughter's gone crazy," or I've lost my job, or I mean, I'm overweight. One of you guys, like I have a friend, Pat Gervais. We had a challenge last year. I went through prostate cancer and multiple infections and gnarly muscle tears as a result of it. And now I'm healthy again. I had to fight my way back, but I had gained a lot of weight because of cancer. And so, because I'm usually training a lot, you know. And so Pat Gervais and I said, he said, "You want to do a challenge with me?" I go, "Yeah." "Okay, every week we're going to tell each other how much we each lost that week. And whoever lost the least has to sing a song in public that the other person chooses." So I think he had to sing "I'm a Little Teapot," and I had to sing "Night at the Roxy" in public. But together we dropped that weight, right? So, you know, to be honest with each other and to encourage each other and to challenge each other is essential for men. Or if you're not, you're gonna get picked off by the enemy. You're kidding yourself. I have a group of we have the man cave, but we also have a group of three other guys, and we text each other. It's just a group text. We started it probably 12, 15 years ago, where we would say, "I did my 60 minutes of workout and my 60 minutes of prayer." That was what we texted every day. But now our texts are more real, about real stuff. So yeah, you need to have other men in your life. Don't kid yourself. And if you're hiding out, there's lots of men's groups. There's the King's Men. There's our group at DeepAdventure.com. There's That Man Is You programs. There's so many great programs, Knights of Columbus. But all you need to do is find one or two other guys. You need to find two other guys, actually, and have a shot of whiskey and a cigar once every 2 weeks, or go out for breakfast every couple of weeks. But narrow your conversation down to, okay, before the breakfast comes, we can talk about sports. But after that, we're going to get real.
Yeah.
This book, by the way, 12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? And my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. Those two books are meant for that type of conversation. You can read through that book together.
Absolutely. Bear, let me ask you this. We all like to think we get the job done, right? And I'll let me speak personally, right? I'm real good at work. You give me something to do, I do it, I get it done. I'm pretty good at home for the most part. I got something to do, I get it done. We all have our faults, we all have our shortcomings. Don't be worried. And like you were just mentioning,
speak for yourself, not just
I'm only gonna speak for myself. But like you said, to open up, to be honest, frankly, this conversation is opening up my eyes and forcing me to have to look in the mirror about a couple things that I need to do better or get rid of. But getting the job done is a total package. It's not just, I get the job done at work, but I'm lacking. We got to get the job done all the time. We have to be striving, come hell or high water, is the chapter right in your book. So talk about that need to say, yeah, we got the drive. We want to get the job done. We know the need to get the job done, but we got to get it done on all the fronts.
Yeah, that's the thing is do you know that God works? You know, Jesus said, even now the Father and I, we work. And we're made in God's image. So men highly value being productive and working. You know, a good man will, by the way, I'm not talking about a nice guy when we talk about where have all the cowboys gone. I'm talking about being a good man. That's a big difference. I mean, a good man might cuss every now and then, but he's going to get the job done. He's going to take care of his family. You know what I'm saying? He might have a little anger issue every now and then, you know, but he's going to stay the course and take care of his family. Well, this area of work, a man desires to be productive, and it's really easy for me the first thing in the morning to see my desk and go over and start working. But the work, the first work God calls me to is the liturgy, right? The liturgy means work of the people. So I start out with reading an office of readings from the liturgy of the hour. And then I may finish more of that with my wife when we have our morning coffee, or we may go to mass. But I start my day by doing my work, which is to love God back. That's my true work. But then within that context, then God has this, the work, our job, our family, our community. But so be selective about what you do, and know that God has a plan for you, what work he has for you. Know what to say no to. But then when it comes down to it, get the job done.
Absolutely. What I would say is this also, Bear, I'd like a quick comment from you. You said learn what to say no to. I just want to follow that up, because obviously we're men, and we struggle with a lot with a number of things. Talk about the need to get the grace in order to be able to say no to those things.
Yeah, hence to say to the liturgy, to pray the liturgy of the hour. Start out your day in prayer, the rosary, or whatever it is that you do, meditating on God's word. But saying no isn't just saying no to it's saying no, I'm not gonna go to this, I'm not gonna have my laptop here in this part of the house, I'll keep it out in public, or I'm not gonna go to this, hang out with these people. But it's also saying, people say, hey, will you do this? Can you do this for me? Let's go do this. And you know, no, I promised my son or my daughter or my wife that I would do this and this instead. So one of the most important things a man can know how to say is the word no.
Absolutely. Bear Wozniak's joining us here at the Frontline with Joe and Joe. Please go out and buy his book, 12 Rules for Manliness. Where have all the cowboys gone? Joe Racinello.
I want to talk a little bit more about getting the job done, because that requires perseverance. What I have found in my life, my walk, the different chapters, we all have chapters of our lives. Life is a marathon. It's a long run. There's many chapters to life, and that requires day in, day out. Got to get it done. Day in, day out. Perseverance. We have to persevere one day at a time, but it's a marathon. And I've seen this in my own life. A lot of times people get out of the chute fast. They start sprinting. It's like that old cartoon, the tortoise and the hare. You know, the hare shoots out, and the tortoise just keeps every day, base hit, base hit, base hit. He crosses the line. The hare doesn't. That's important to keep that in mind. The marathon of life, the perseverance. Because, again, getting the job done doesn't always mean you're going to get it done that day. It may take a long time. It's a work in progress. We're a work in progress. Talk about that perseverance, Brer, because we need it.
Yeah, Cindy and I were watching the story of Lance Armstrong last night, and I always told her, I'm very agile now in my martial arts and in my surfing, but I'm not a natural athlete. That had to come by learning. But I am a distance guy. I can pedal my bicycle forever. I can run for. I just don't stop. But I remember when I was pedaling my bicycle from San Diego to Jacksonville, Florida, I made it. The hardest part was the first day going over the coastal mountains of California and then down into the desert where it was record-breaking heat for 8 days. And then it was when I started going through the middle of Texas, then Tropical Storm Allison came up and messed with me for 8 days, blowing wind in my face so strong that I had to pedal hard just to go downhill. But what I learned that when I just remember pedaling into the desert, coming into Arizona, probably going near where Joe is. And I thought, how am I going to get through that? The desert's forever. Texas is a long state of nothing. A lot of it is just desert. And I realized as soon as I'm pedaling into that desert, I was actually pedaling out. And so it's just one pedal stroke at a time, one paddle stroke at a time. When I was training for my ninja black belts, and one of the things we used to do is we had to do 100 pushups. Well, our sensei would say, you can do one more of anything. And some of the pushups were assisted pushups. That means someone's helping you by pushing down on your shoulders and making it harder. So it's just a matter of saying, I can do one more of anything. As a ninja black belt, our creed is, though my enemy hold his sword to my heart, I can win from there. I will prevail. So it's just having the grit and the determination and then knowing who to look to for the grace. And, you know, I really find it in ministry. I know you guys do too, not just in being a Catholic, being involved in Catholic ministry, but who you are as a man and as a father. There really is that saying that when I am weak, then I am strong in scripture. And the joy of the Lord is my strength, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. It's really when a man comes to the end of his strength that he finds what it is to be picked up and lifted up by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like you can't ride a surfboard without a wave. So you need the power of the Holy Spirit to propel you.
I think you're right on that, because I think that's when God says, now we're going to get started. I think that's also a reach to people out there who have issues, could have serious issues. You could have alcohol issues. You could have pornography issues, whatever. You have to come to that point of surrender. You have to basically say to the Lord, listen, I can't do this. It could be with chastity. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I committed myself to God, you know, at 22. I struggled with chastity. And there came a point, to be honest with you, and I struggled with it. I went to confession, and I was at a man's retreat, to be honest with you, and I went to confession, and the same priest who I went to confession with was giving out the Eucharist, and he put his finger in my hand before he gave me the Eucharist. And basically, I kid you not, afterwards, I lived a chaste life till I got married. I knew that that's what God was calling me to do. If I'm going to do this, this is what the church says. So I'm going to do it. But I couldn't do it. I could not do it. And you see, there's a lot of things in our life. But you see, people have to realize grace is real. You know, someone who's secular could listen to this. They're driving their car. They hear me saying this. They're like, what are you talking about? No, grace is real. If you avail yourself to it, God will help you. And that doesn't take a day. There's struggles, there's falling, there's getting up, there's confession, there's prayer, there's fasting. There could be a million things, but God's grace is real. Talk about that, Bear, because I'm sure you've experienced that in your life. And I know Joe Pasillo has as well.
Resistance training, right? That's what an athlete does when he's pushing iron, lifting weights, or most of my training now is stand-up paddle surfing. It's a great overall workout. And they say, how many reps should I do? And your trainer says, to failure. Keep pressing the iron until you, and then he may come in to help you a little bit, right? It's amazing what happens when you're bench pressing and the bar won't, you know, you're moving it, and now it won't move. And your friend comes and sometimes just puts two little fingers on that bar and just puts a little bit of pressure on it and it lifts. That's God's grace. That's God being our spotter. But you don't really grow in strength until you push your muscles to failure, right? And then you rest for a couple of days. And as the muscle rebuilds from being torn, right? That's why they call a muscle guy being ripped who's strong. When it heals it, that's when it becomes strong. So going to the point of failure in your life where you fail, that's when you can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to rest in you. And for your power and your grace. And by the way, you know, we sail down in the Virgin Islands, you know, and I used to have a sailboat in California back in the day. And now we sail in the Virgin Islands, but I used to trail, no one would want to sail with me. So I used to trail a rope out the end of my boat. And every 10 feet, there would be a knot. And at the end of every rope on a sailboat, the end of that knot is tied with a knot and it's called the bitter end. But when I trailed that rope out the back of my boat, I knew if I fell off, that's the bitter end. If I don't grab that rope before that spot, if I don't, I'm not able to hang on, then I'm not getting back on the boat. So when you reach the end of yourself, that's where you find God. That's where you hear the still small voice. You hear God knocking. I know when I'm held down by a big wave, it's a pretty gnarly thing when you're just getting whipped around, right? You're just getting tumbled about. But when you hit the bottom of the reef, at least you know which way is up and you can press off from there. And so failure is a, you know, when I teach people martial arts or teach them surfing, like Doug Berry came out here and he just immediately became a good surfer. But I thought that's too bad because he doesn't know what he's doing. Because you really don't know until you do it wrong. Oh, now I know why Bear said to do this and not that, right? So so learning, failing is really a critical part of any athlete's life. It's a critical part of our life, period. And then learning from God, not this way, don't do it this way, do it that way. And then don't just do it with my grace. God takes great delight in your life. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to help you. He doesn't want to just make it easy for you, but he's going to have an adventure for you. And it guarantee you, it's going to require you to grow to become that adventure. And it's going to require God's grace for that to happen.
Absolutely. Bear Wozniak joining us at the front line with Joe and Joe. The book is 12 Rules for Manliness. Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Bear, earlier in the conversation, I alluded to the logos, okay, the order of things, the rationality of things. I asked you to talk about the relationship, the order of the relationship of men and women, but let's keep it with men a second. Now, and then this pertains to all human beings, but let's keep it with men. That one of the reasons why I think we have cultural rot in this country, moral rot in this country, is because of the relationship between the animal passions and your reason, that God gives us reason so that we could subdue and order our passions properly, okay? And that relationship, again, has been inverted so that a man goes out there and is told, no, like Nike says, just do it, right? Just do it. Or don't think, you know, it's almost like, don't think about things. If it feels right, just do it. Or why can't you just let people be happy? You know, in other words, just pursuing their own passions. Talk about the error of that, Bear, that as men, we need to have our reason control our passions.
Well, you know, first of all, the word for man in Latin is vir. It's where we get the word virtue. That's what a man is a man of virtue. There's a difference between passion and desire. The word passion means to suffer. It means to be driven. The word desire, I mean, in the Latin root, the word desire means to look up at the stars. So I've been introduced. I just remember one particular example. This guy introduced me to his wife. This is Bear Wozniak. He's the guy I told you about that follows his passion. And I said, no, I don't. He goes, yeah, you're that guy. You run with the bulls. You know, you do all these things. You follow your passion. I go, no, I don't. And he was insistent. I said, no, I want to follow God's will. And God said that if you seek me, I will let you find me. He also says, he will put new and right desires in my heart. So instead of being driven by passion, I want to look up and seek God's will for my life and be led as opposed to being driven, to be led by God's desire for my life. And then there's this whole area of the appetites. So in one of my chapters, I talk about bridle your passions and let good things run wild. You know, appetites are basically for good things, but in the wrong order. Or wanting them or wanting them too much. So there's nothing more beautiful, nothing more sacred than making love to your wife in the nuptial union. But if you're out being promiscuous or you're failing the fight that every man must fight when it comes to pornography, then you're letting passions run you. Think about a war horse. A war horse is power under control. So the idea is bridle your passions so that you can release them at the right time. I remember when I was reading a book called Man of War when I was a seventh grader about this great horse. I thought the job of the jockey was just to whip the horse and make him run as fast as he could. But no, the jockey would hold him back in certain places. He'd release him at others, you know, and that's what virtue is. It's guiding your passions to so that you release them at the right time. I mean, food is really good for you, but if you eat too much of it, it's bad.
I want to expand on that, because I think we could relate this to many people, even outside of the Catholic Church, people who are not even Christian. In business school, you read case studies. Why do they make you do that? Because it gives you a model, a successful model. Whatever business you're going to go into, that model will give you clues into how successful people operate. You mentioned something before, and it triggered a thought about that, because basically Warren Buffett said this. He said, no is an important word. Warren Buffett's a very successful man.
Yeah, kind of.
Monetarily, anyway.
from a no, money he's business. Awesome. I love that. I love listening to his
It's like beyond belief. And he defies everything. He lives in Nebraska, you know, the whole deal. I mean, the oracle of what's
he lives
called?
In the same house he lived in, I think, 35 years. And but his partner isn't like him at all. He's only lived in his house 28 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. But I think of things like that, case studies. And one of those things is talking about our passions, self-discipline. If you look at successful people, in the church, outside the church, Christian, non-Christian, atheist, whatever, they're disciplined. They have self-discipline. They know how to say no to themselves. All successful people are self-disciplined. It's absolutely a fact. And that's also something we as Catholic men must become. We have to have discipline. Men today lack self-discipline. That was something my father, he was so disciplined, self-disciplined. It was absurd almost. And that doesn't just happen. But if you want to be successful, if you're listening to my voice and you hear this, whether you're Catholic or not, and you're not self-disciplined, I'm going to tell you this, you're not going to be successful in life. You're just not. Talk about that. Catholic men have to acquire discipline, self-discipline.
Well, I disagree with you. I think we should just have all the freedom and do whatever we want to.
Why not?
Okay, so that mentality of I don't feel like it or I'm going to do whatever I want is actually a path to total bondage. Because lack of discipline, what does the word disciple have? The word discipline has the word disciple right in it. So to be a disciple is to be to be set free. Because there's a cumulative effect for of not taking responsibility. It's just like, well, I'm going to put it off till tomorrow. No, now you got tomorrow's stuff and today's stuff to take care of. So the whole key to freedom is to be disciplined. I've seen more and more people as I age who aren't disciplined in working out or their eating habits, and their world is getting really small. They're limited in what they can do physically and other ways too, because they don't have the energy. So just in the area of physical discipline, to say to your body, you're going to work out and you're not going to eat that, it shows you that if you do that, then you have more freedom to go and to do stuff. But if you lack discipline, you're just going to end up in bondage. So
Eric,
discipline is a blessing.
I was going to say, we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm glad you brought this up. It's a constant theme at the front line with Joe and Joe. Bear Wozniak is joining us here, if you're just joining us at the Veritas Network, there is a lie in our culture, that the lie is, if you do this, you're free. And if you listen to that big, bad Catholic Church, you're in chains. And I'd like for you to expand on that a little bit, because that's one of the biggest lies there is, because as you said, no one is more in bondage than the man who is addicted to pornography.
I love what G.K. Chesterton said about orthodoxy. He says, like, those walls of orthodoxy let good things run wild. I stole that line from him in my book. It lets, you know, having discipline lets good things run wild. And every man nowadays, when I was young, you had to look for pornography. Now it's looking for you. It's hunting you down, and you must win that battle. And you win that battle in prayer. You win that battle in just spending time with the Lord and having, you know, brothers to encourage you. But you must win that battle. You must win that battle. So if you want freedom, be disciplined.
Absolutely. So Bear, in the last minute or so, obviously your book, that's what we've been talking about. 12 Rules for Manliness. Where have all the cowboys gone? Tell our audience where they could buy the book and what you have going on, where they could go, where men can go and participate in what, you know, at your website. Go ahead, Bear. The floor is yours.
I think you can buy the book. You can buy the book at your Barnes and Noble stores or wherever books are sold, or Sophia, or you can go to our website, deepadventure.com, and go to our store, and then you can, we'll send you an autographed copy of the book. And that's where you can find out about our TV show, our radio show, and anything else that's going on. Invite us to come out and speak. But we're so thankful to be on your show again, to be with two other men that are on the front lines. And you say the front line.
That's right. Well, Bear, here's the thing, too, and just to end with this, is like Joe and I, we're humble enough to say, truly humble enough to say, like, we all have our issues. I mean, like, we always try to emphasize, but we don't walk on water. Okay, Jesus walked on water. Okay, but we're trying. We're trying. We show up. We talked about getting the job done. We show up.
Love it.
All right. You know, Joe's got issues. I got issues. We both have jobs. We don't get paid for this. We don't care. We show up. We're going to do it. Why? Because talking with Bear Woznick today and all the people we talk to and spreading that message, that's the important thing. That's what's going to help us to bring other people to Christ. So Bear Woznick, man, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. And obviously, you know, we're going to have you back as often as you would like to come back. You can come back on the front line with Joe and Joe, brother.
Say hi to aloha to everyone in New York. We love you guys out there. That's where all the tough guys are, man. All those Italians out there, dude.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, when you're here, we'll take you to get some good food.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, last time I was there, Anthony DiStefano waterboarded me, man, it was like being waterboarded. Took me to Staten Island for some Italian food, and they just kept bringing it. And finally, I had to just say, I surrender. I give up. You know,
that's what happens when you go to Staten Island with an Italian. Thanks, Bear. And thank you all out there for joining us at the Veritas Catholic Radio Network, 1350 on your AM dial, 103.9 on your FM dial, spreading the truth of the Catholic faith in the New York City metropolitan area. Download the app, share it with your friends. You'll have access to all of our station's content. And wherever you see Joe and I on social media, particularly this video, please share it, like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. Thanks once more. And remember, until the next time, that our conversation is your conversation, and that conversation is going on everywhere. We'll talk to you soon.